Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
I think this week has just been an extension of what we'll be doing this whole offseason. We've had very good participation. Obviously, it helps you add a guy like Jimbo, who hasn't been here. It's good to see him, but I think it's just been a good deal that doesn't really change much as far as what they've been doing, and we've had such good participation. Kudos to our players and coaches and for what they've gotten accomplished and kind of marrying up these rookies with the vets and getting everyone prepared for what needs to happen between now and when we show up, and then what that's going to look like once we show up to Rochester.
Bills GM Brandon Bean speaking to the media today after the final practice of mandatory minicamp, 3 days here in the books, and the next time we'll see the team on the field will be in Rochester at St. John Fisher University. We welcome in Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, and we'll start with some of what Brandon was saying there, Ryan, about James Cook showing up and hearing from James Cook and realizing that with James Cook, it's important. His money is important to him, and he wasn't about to lose money by not showing up just to make a statement about his contract. Boy, things going into Rochester feel like this Bills team healthy and cohesive as they get ready for training camp.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, you know, they've been banged up a little bit here over this 3-day mandatory mini camp. But as they mentioned today, Brandon Bean saying that he thinks, you know, knock on wood, he said they'll all be available for training camp. So that is a good sign and a positive sign for this team. And as for James Cook, you know, I'm going to give him his kudos, not just for coming into Buffalo, because like you mentioned, $104,000 is on the table. If he would have not shown up, that's a good chunk of change for a player that's still on his rookie contract. But he could have easily have come in here and sat in, not participated, not done a lot of the drill work. But he came in, he said, you know, I view myself as a leader on this team. I wanted to be here. So, a lot of kudos for that, knowing full well that this is a very important season for the Bills. As long as they have Josh Allen, the Super Bowl window is open, but they're not getting any younger at certain positions, and they got to be able to put their best foot forward because there are players like James Cook that could walk away in free agency next year.
Yeah, hearing Brandon Bean today, Ryan, I didn't get any indication whatsoever. It could just be Bean keeping his cards close to his vest there that they're talking right now. They're looking to get a done deal. Like, what's your – do you think the window is still open, perhaps, for James Cook before the start of the season to get a deal done?
I still think there's a slight chance. I'm not giving it great odds, but, you know, maybe the Bills counter back. I've seen a lot of people throwing around, like, a 2-year contract. I don't know if that's something he'll want to do at his age. I mean, he'd still be relatively young when he hit free agency again in that case, so – I would respect that, but, you know, get him on a shorter-term deal, whatever that is, with a lot of guaranteed money where you're comfortable as the team giving him that kind of money, but you're not also going into that $15 million-plus range either.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us in the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia on The Fan. This was our first chance to see mandatory minicamp. Well, we saw Keon Coleman during the offseason portion, earlier in the offseason. Keon Coleman on the field, Dalton Kincaid on the field, two guys that Brandon Bean, you know, called out at the end of the year. We need more from these guys. Talk a little bit about the day that Kincaid had today.
Yeah, Kincaid had a big day to end it. Great touchdown grab over Taron Johnson. He had another key grab that would have gone for a score, looking the part. You know, he's received a lot of kudos from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean in the last few weeks in terms of hitting the weight room, really taking the message that they had for him to heart. He has to be able to stay healthy. He has to bulk up a little bit. There were extremely high expectations for him last season. And obviously, he came nowhere close to meeting those expectations. And I think the injury played a huge factor in that. It wasn't just that he had a letdown season. The injury certainly factored in. So he went into this year, he had a rehab first, finished rehabbing the injury. Then he really did hit the weight room, and Brandon Bean said today how much bigger he looks physically. And then with Keon Coleman, too, you see him create a little bit more separation in year two. He's never going to be the fastest player, but the route running, he's worked on that in terms of getting out of his breaks, cleaning up his footwork there. And that could be big for him because pre-injury, he put together some nice games. He had some really good moments. We had one 100-yard game. So if he can take that next step, too, in his, you know, in his development, this Bills offense is going to have a lot of weapons at their disposal.
We're talking Ryan Talbot, Shout Podcast, NewYorkUpstate.com. And, you know, Ryan, that's not a position I'm looking to for a camp battle. This time last year, there were a lot of names. Some we knew, some we weren't really all that familiar with, Mac Hollins. But when we're looking at camp battles now, and I think there are a few that, you know, certainly we'll be kind of focusing on, that not only 22 jobs here, you know, are locked down heading into training camp.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, I mean, we could talk about bottom of the wide receiver depth chart because Elijah Moore's had a really nice spring here since coming into Buffalo, and they've only been known to carry five wide receivers. We know kind of who their top four, top five guys are right now, and there's still players like Tyrell Shavers who have flashed today, and some other, you know, under-the-radar players, Jalen Virgil too. But when you're looking at this roster in terms of who could maybe battle for a bigger role, you probably want to look at the defensive line. I think obviously a lot of those starting jobs are locked up, but who's going to step up with some suspensions on this D-line to start the year? Larry Ogunjobi's going to miss some time. Hoyt's going to miss six games, both of them missing six games, that is. Is it going to be A.J. Epenesa? We kind of know what his ceiling looks like in terms of maybe stepping up because they expect Bosa to play a big role, but we haven't seen much out of him. We know the injury concerns. We know what Greg Rousseau is going to bring to the table, but who's going to be that X factor that steps up off the edge? Javon Solomon, maybe. He's flashed a little bit over the spring and had some good moments. Can he ascend into that spot? And then at defensive tackle, can one of these rookies really come in and cement themselves as a key depth piece behind Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, because TJ Sanders is as disruptive as possible. He's explosive. He could really be an X factor for this defense. Walker seems to be further along than where maybe the Bills thought he was after they drafted him with the back injury. Technique is what it's going to come down to for him. Do they get him playing lower with his pads? If so, the athleticism is off the charts for a guy that size. So it's going to be fun to watch. Ryan Nielsen, the coach that they brought over this year, you know, he's not their defensive line coach, but he's really been mentoring, coaching up those players a lot. It's going to be fun to see what he can do because he played a big role in the development of Trey Hendrickson.
Matt Milano most likely about to play his final season with the Buffalo Bills, Ryan, and my question is a simple one. Is Dorian Williams today a better linebacker for the Buffalo Bills than Matt Milano?
I'm not ready to say that yet. I know the athleticism, you know, he's a great athlete. We're gonna start there. He flies around the field. He makes plays. I still think the instincts are something that he needs to get a little bit better with, where Matt Milano, the instincts are still at an elite level. It's just whether the body's starting to break down and whether he still has the athleticism to maybe match up with the instincts that he brings to the table. So I'm not there yet, but it's going to be fun to watch that linebacker room because there are a lot of questions about the depth, including Dorian Williams taking the next step in his development. And we saw Joanne Dreesen make some plays this week. Eddie Ulofosio is a player they were very high on last year, saying, okay, he's going to start out with special teams as a rookie, but they think the athleticism, I keep harping on that word, but the Bills have drafted a lot of players in the past few years with the relative athletic score in the eights and the nines, which is out of 10 points, and he's one of them. So I think they like what he brings to the table. They bring in Shaq Thompson, who is one of those rare few players still in the league that has that Carolina connection with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. So that's going to be a fun one to watch, too.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Thompson, and yeah, the snark meter was going, oh, there is still somebody that played for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean down in Carolina. Thompson, is he nothing more at this point than, say, Josh Norman, a guy that you like, he knows his responsibilities, but you're keeping him on the practice squad break glass in case of emergency?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it. It reminds me a little bit of the Deion Jones signing last year, and Jones did not make the roster and didn't really stick around long. But it's a guy that's, you know, out of his prime. He's not the same player that he once was. Thompson played kind of a big nickel role early in his career in Carolina for Sean McDermott. He can't do that now at this point. He's had back-to-back seasons where he's had serious injuries. He's only played 6 games in the last 2 years, so... far from a roster lock, I think he's more likely to be a practice squad type of player, if anything, on this roster. But it's good to have players that you can trust, that you know is a good locker room guy. And with the amount of veteran spots that you have on your practice squad now, he would make sense.
Ryan, you mentioned the play of Tyrell Shavers during mandatory minicamp here the last few days. I always remember the training camp of 2024 when Tyrell Shavers was the darling of camp. And we're at the time of the offseason now where we can kind of project and look ahead and say that when we see these guys again on the field at St. John Fisher University, a couple of names are going to pop. I'm curious as to who you think will be this year's camp darlings. I'll start by saying Buffalo Joe is going to be a 2025 training camp darling for the Buffalo Bills.
I love that pick. Yeah, I think he makes a ton of sense. Joshua Palmer, now he signed a big contract, so he better be a camp darling, but he had an unbelievable spring, in my opinion. I think he is looking the part of a player that earned a huge contract from the Bills. I think he's going to fit into this offense pretty seamlessly. And then I'll stick at that position and say Elijah Moore is going to be a camp darling. You know, the Bills have brought in some guys with speed in years past. It was a few years ago, mind you, and they had Tavon Austin, but Austin was past his prime, so it's not a great comparison. Elijah Moore is a guy that just hasn't played with any good quarterbacks in his career, and yet the last 2 years in Cleveland, 1 year career high in receptions, 1 year career high in receiving yards. Now you throw him with Josh Allen, you add a player that has 4.28, 4.29 type of speed. He could be a lethal addition to this team as a receiver, maybe a gadget guy at times, just getting the ball in his hand. So those are two guys on offense that I think are going to be camp darlings. And I'll add the rookie Hawes at tight end. I think they're going to love watching him maul players. This is not a typical rookie where I think he's going to come right in, and he's going to throw some guys around.
Yeah, I was just chomping at the bit to throw Jackson Hawes' name out. And okay, so we can talk about rookies being camp darlings. He's got a spot on this team, does he not? Particularly with the age of Dawson Knox, Kincaid being your one, but could, I guess, it'd be a stretch to think a Hawes would push for wide receiver, tight end two minutes here on the team. But your thoughts on Hawes overall and what he could actually do? What is the ceiling here in 2025?
Yeah, I think Hawes' ceiling is, I don't want to say relatively high because with Kincaid and with Knox, knowing their roles and the targets they're going to have, I don't think he's going to necessarily have a heavy volume of targets, but you're going to get him on the field a lot. The Bills loved running jumbo last year. They could put him out there, you know, essentially run jumbo with a tight end on the field instead because of the way that he blocks. And then run the ball effectively, but also do play action and have him go out on the field, catch some passes in those situations. So I do think there's going to be a role for him, slightly bigger maybe than the Quentin Morris role in terms of on offense. Morris did bring a lot to the special teams room, though, as well. It's a little bit unfortunate because I think Zach Davidson is good enough to be in this league as a number three type of tight end, but I don't think it's going to be in Buffalo if he gets that chance. I think he's a practice squad guy. Latu that they signed as a UDFA, 6'7", very raw but intriguing. He's a practice squad guy. So there is a clear path, in my opinion, for Haas to claim that tight end three job.
Ryan, if we're going to talk about rookies, I want to get your take on Maxwell Harrison, who we know got dinged up a little bit yesterday, and some of the comments made by Sean McDermott earlier in the week about his the perception that he might not want to play young players as much as veteran players. The question I have for you first, though, is just how big is Dion Walker?
Dion Walker's huge. He is a massive human being. Sometimes you see the numbers and you're like, oh man, that's gonna be a big guy. And then you almost see him out there on the field at training camp or over the spring. Like, okay, doesn't necessarily meet those expectations. Walker meets those expectations. Yeah. He is just a massive human being. If they can coach up his technique a little bit, he's going to end up being a steal for this team, and easier said than done. But the skill set, the athleticism, the size of this player, it's not something that we've seen a lot in Sean McDermott's defense here in Buffalo, so I'm at least intrigued by the idea.
Ryan Talbot, New York Upstate, and the Shout podcast joining us here in the Sports Bar. Special teams, they didn't bring in another place kicker, did they not? I mean, or who's going to win the punting job, Brian? These are the first world problems the Buffalo Bills have heading to St. John Fisher University.
Yeah, the kicker job, I think Tyler Bass did end the year pretty strong, so I can see why they didn't bring in any competition for him. He seemed to kind of get everything back in terms of the motion, the swing of the leg, everything that they wanted to see from him. He came up pretty clutch at times. I was a little surprised at punter. There were a few good UDFAs post-draft that I thought you could at least bring in, add to the competition. So it's interesting because, you know, Kamara was in Tampa Bay, and he had a really good first, you know, season. Fell off a little bit after that. Was it something that they wanted him to do, how they wanted him to punt the ball? I don't know. Brad Robbins has only been in the league for a few years. They're both 26-year-old players. It's going to be, I don't want to say fun to watch this, but it's a true battle because there's no leg up between the two players in terms of who they're going to keep. Where in years past, you said, okay, this one holds the ball really well for Tyler Bass, and there's a lot of intrigue about player, you know, XYZ in years past that maybe they've brought in. But this year, I truly, it's a coin flip in my mind who's going to win that punter job right now.
Ryan, Max Harrison dinging his hamstring yesterday in practice. We heard from Brandon Bean today that he should be okay and good to go, rehab it here during the break and be ready to go for the start of training camp. Earlier in the week, Sean McDermott talking or was asked about the perception that he doesn't necessarily start rookies or he won't play younger players as much as veteran players. Capitalize what McDermott said in his response to that, because there are cases that where it seems he has, there are cases where it seems like he hasn't, and specifically with Harrison, boy, I think the expectation for most fans is that he's going to be opposite Christian Benford week one.
Yeah, he pretty much said, I don't start rookies or young players unless they're ready to start, which honestly makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of players in this league that have been thrown into the fire because they're on a bad roster, and it's hurt their development. You can talk about any position in this league, and some guys benefit from it, too. It works both ways. But for the Bills and the way this roster has been built since about 2019, 2020, there hasn't been a lot of reasons to throw a rookie onto the field for the sake of throwing a rookie on the field. There's been good players in front of them. There's great depth. But at cornerback now, there's a great opportunity for Harrison because, yes, they bring back Trey White, Dane Jackson, both players that have played a lot of games in this system and fared well. But as you mentioned, Harrison is a first-round pick. The skill set's a little bit different. He has unbelievable speed, which is going to help if he does get beaten off the line in terms of closing the gap on plays like that. And truth be told, before this injury, I thought over the course of the spring, the Bills were putting a lot on his plate, and he was responding very well to it. So I think that's very encouraging. It's going to be fun to see how he carries that over to training camp. As you mentioned, Brandon Bean said he should be good to go. He said everyone that's been banged up should be good to go come training camp time. So going to be fun to watch a pretty healthy roster at St. John Fisher University.
Ryan, we haven't talked here in a few weeks. And the thing that's going to be different this camp is compared to the other years, you're going to have a film crew moving around. And my take is this. It'll be fun for fans. It'll be great for fans. These guys have cameras or cell phones all around all the time? I mean, what impact do you think, whether that's from a preparation standpoint or something otherwise, that Hard Knocks will have on the Buffalo Bills, the team coming up this summer?
Yeah, I think it'll have a very limited impact on them. Like you said, we live in a very social media type of world, and I know one of the reasons they like coming to camp is to get away from everything, to bond and be together. And maybe we get to see some of the card games and behind-the-scenes camaraderie that we don't get to see beyond the practice field, and that could be cool for the fans. But I don't think there's going to be distractions. Sean McDermott talked about the importance of being authentic and not trying to play up a character in front of the camera, whether you're a player or a coach, and keeping everyone in check. I think the Bills are in a good spot in that area, and I know that they probably aren't thrilled to be on Hard Knocks in general, but if you ask anyone in that building, especially the higher-ups, I think they would much rather be the training camp team than the regular season team.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com, covering the Buffalo Bills. I hope we have the chance to talk to you before training camp gets underway at the end of July, Ryan. But in the meantime, I know you and Matt and everybody there covering the team, you're all doing a great job providing fans with your access and your insight. What are you guys working on here over the course of the next couple of weeks that we can check out?
Yeah, Matt will have his last observation post up in the next 24 hours based on the final day of mandatory minicamp. We just went live about an hour ago doing our last podcast on it. StreamYard's down, though, for everyone, so we had to pivot to another app called Riverside, but we made it work.
All right.
So we'll still be podding here and there, and then we'll probably do a way too early 53-man roster projection, way too early win-loss prediction record, things like that to kind of carry us over as we wait for the start of training camp.
I was going to say, true or false, if we hear a Shout podcast during the off time here, during the break, things have gone horribly wrong for the Buffalo Bills. What do you say to that?
I'll say false. We're still going to try to do at least one show a week, so you're going to be stuck with us one way or the other.
Good to know.
No, I think just in general, like if you're a fan, like, okay, no news. We can.
Yeah, no news is good news.
Yeah, no news is good news. Ryan, appreciate all the work that and the time you and Matt give us. Thank you so much, buddy.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks, guys.
There's Ryan Talbot. You read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com. Does a great job covering the Buffalo Bills. Also hear him on the Shout podcast with our pal Matt Perino at the Syracuse Post-Standard.
The difference between Matt and Ryan, one of them is this. So just talking to Ryan, before we got in the air, and like a lot of us, hey, what do you got planned for the summer? And I know a family vacation spot hit for him is Arizona. He's like, I don't know, trying to work this out because he's going to on the road to cover the two games. He's like, yeah, we're going to Chicago, and then it's Jacksonville, the other one. I'm thinking, no. And then he corrects himself. He's like, oh, no, like Tampa. Matt Perino knows it's Tampa because of its proximity there to Orlando and is already planned out there.
Correct. Orlando is a short drive from Tampa. You can make that drive in less than 2 hours. And I get it. I'm with them. Like if you're in that state, you're trying to figure out, all right, how close am I to Orlando? How close am I to Disney? How close am I to the happiest place on earth? Now he's still in that wheelhouse. His kids are prime Disney years. Perino,
you and I have aged out, buddy.
I have aged out, but still, even in February, and we were down there for the week in February with my youngest daughter, who's now 16. Oh God! And Alexa, we're like, yeah, let's make the drive. We'll go to Disney Springs. We won't go to any of the parks, but we'll at least get a little bit of magic in our life when we went to Disney Springs, and we loved it. It's fantastic for a day. So I don't blame Matt for mapping it out, especially with his kids being right in that sweet spot for the happiest place on earth. Love it. And those guys deserve the time. They do a great job covering the team and giving their time to us and sharing it with all of y'all, covering the Buffalo Bills as mandatory minicamp comes to its conclusion. And the next time we will see this team is in Rochester at St. John Fisher University.
Yeah, and let's high-step it to the weekend here, guys, because Danger and I are both off tomorrow, so one last hour, happy hour, as we like to call it.
Yeah, I don't like saying it. I don't like people who say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. It's our Friday in the sports bar, so let's make the most of it. You can join us at 866-4326-585, 866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.